The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Franklin Graham, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be with you again.
You have been doing so much over so many years that very few people think of you anymore first as the son of Billy Graham, because you have been so busy. But I'm sure there are tons of people that don't know half of what you do. So I wanted to talk about some of that today, and particularly since we're coming up on Christmas, what you call Operation Christmas Child. I want to dive right into that since it's timely.
Okay.
So tell us, if somebody knows nothing about it, which much of my audience won't, what is that?
It's asking people, families, individuals, taking a shoebox, filling it with items for a child. If it's a girl, a doll, something for her hair, school supplies, because we take these to third world countries.
Wait a minute. Sounds like you only believe in two genders. You need to get with the program. There's like hundreds now. All right. But for the purposes of this program, let's assume that the Bible is correct and there are only two genders. Okay. So you fill a shoebox
for a kid.
Toys for a boy or a girl.
A boy or girl. And then we ask you to put your picture in there, because I want the person, the kid who gets the box, to see who gave the box. If you want, put your address, because we're going to ask the child to try to write you back if they can to say thank you. So now you build little bridges of contact around the world. And then pray. Pray for the child who's going to get that box. This year we'll collect about 11 million boxes in the next 2 weeks. And these 11 million boxes will go to 120 countries where they're distributed to children.
Did you say 11 million?
11 million.
11 million boxes.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Now, I neglected to
mention.
And we
count them. They're all counted.
You're the president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse. This organization that's absolutely extraordinary. Did this come out of Samaritan's Purse?
It came out of Samaritan's Purse. It's our Christmas program of Samaritan's Purse.
And it's called Operation Christmas
Child.
So how many years have you been doing this?
About 26 years.
Wow.
And the first year was 11,000 boxes. And it's grown from that 11,000 to this year to 11 million. The first year was taking them to Bosnia, to a war zone, and giving them to kids in refugee camps.
In the 90s, when Bosnia was a war zone, you went there.
We went there, took the shoeboxes to the kids in the refugee camps. And it was cold and, you know, below zero, and very difficult just even to get the shoeboxes there. So we've been doing it now for, I think it's 20, this is the 26th year. But it's about telling the children of the world that there's a God that loves them, who sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to this earth to take our sins, that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and God raised him to life. I want the children to have that hope, knowing that they too, if they invite Jesus Christ into their hearts, into their lives, that we will be with God forever and ever in heaven. And I want these kids to know it. And so we take these boxes to the children of the world. We have families, 11 million people praying for these children. We know God hears the prayer of one righteous person. Can you imagine 11 million people praying for children, what God might do?
I mean, the scope of what you do, again, you know, the news tends not to cover this kind of stuff. But the scope of what Samaritan's Purse has done over the years, much less, 11 million shoeboxes this year. It is a staggering thing. So whenever people say, you know, I don't know what are Christians doing except blah, 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 I think, well, they're doing this. And you've been a hero. How long has Samaritan's Purse been in existence?
49 years this year.
How long?
49.
49?
And I've been the president of the organization for 40.
Wow.
It's not just you know, Franklin Graham, there's, we got over 1,500 on staff, an incredible staff of men and women around the world. We have volunteers. We have over 200,000 volunteers that work with us in some capacity throughout the year. They come and volunteer their time. And we would not be able to do it. We wouldn't be able to keep our expenses down the way we do
right.
if it wasn't for the volunteers who come in not only to help with Operation Christmas Child, but whenever there's a disaster anywhere in the world, we have an army of men and women who come and are willing to be hands-on in that crisis.
Well, this program that we're doing now is airing right in the middle of what you call National Collection Week.
That's
so
correct.
It has to be before the 26th.
We it do it before be Thanksgiving.
Before, okay, so before, so I know it's the 18th through the 25th.
Right.
So if people want to do this.
Do it now.
They have to do it right now.
Do it now.
Okay.
And they can go to our website, SamaritansPurse.org, and click on Operation Christmas Child. There's videos on how to pack a shoebox. One of the funny ones is Uncle Cy of Duck Dynasty.
Are you kidding?
You ought to see him pack a shoebox.
Are you kidding?
He puts firecrackers in there, bottle rockets, and
you're kidding.
No.
Are you kidding? I want to get a Christmas gift that has bottle rockets in it. I was literally just 3 days ago down in West Monroe, Louisiana, with the Duck Dynasty gang. But Uncle Cy, I don't know where he was. He was traveling someplace. But he has been involved with you doing this.
Yes, he did an incredible video on how to pack a box. But if you go to our website, not only do we have videos of what to put in a box and what not to put. You don't put bottle rockets in there like Uncle Cy did.
No, you don't do that.
But they're good videos, fun videos, and then you can actually download a barcode and put that on your box, and you can track the box. You can actually see not what kid gets your box, but you can track it to see what country it goes to.
Because you don't know in advance.
Don't know. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this I have like a sample box here.
It is, uh-huh.
And this is now, so people would just pack a regular shoebox. This is like an official Samaritan's Purse box.
We make those available if people want them.
Okay.
They can get those online. And we'll send you shoeboxes. We have them out of paper. We have them out of this plastic. I like the plastic ones there because after all the toys are gone, plastic box is still there.
Right.
They use it.
And I see that you have a stuffed frog in here. Can I keep this?
You can have
I
that.
I can keep the stuffed frog.
But the child will probably cry.
Then I won't keep it. You have an uninflated soccer ball.
And the pump just right there under
and
it.
And the pump to inflate it. See, now this fits in the box. If this were inflated, folks,
it would work.
It will not fit in a shoebox. What a great idea. I like this gives people ideas. That's why I wanted to open this up, right? So this is a brilliant idea. We got the pump. We got the soccer ball. We have a pencil case. It feels like there's pencils and supplies. So this is all kinds of crayons, Crayola crayons, and all kinds of other stuff, Hot Wheels stuff. This seems like it would be for boys. Because I believe that
and there's
boys
a letter
like
there's
cars.
A letter right there
and this is the letter
and
right.
You open it up and the picture of the family, good looking family.
Look at this. I'm afraid this is a picture of the family. So if it's a good looking family, let me guess. Oh, look at that. Oh, this is terrific.
That's my youngest son.
I was gonna say he looks so much like you that I almost said, wait a minute.
He spent 16 years in special operations, went to West Point. And he just got out of the Army to come work at Samaritan's Purse. So that's
wow.
His kids packed that.
I'll just hold that up. This is so beautiful. So wonderful. How many kids and how many grandkids do you have
at this
point?
I've got four children and 12 grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. 12.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving and Christmas, a little busy.
You're not that old. That's pretty impressive. 12 grandkids. that is very
older
very,
than you think.
It's, I don't know. I can look it
I'm
up.
I'm not older than dirt, but I'm.
You are. okay, so if people want to know about this, they can go to SamaritansPurse.org.
SamaritansPurse.org, and then click on the link to Operation Christmas Child.
Samaritans Purse, no apostrophe, folks, SamaritansPurse.org, and they go to the link Operation Christmas Child. Now, if people want to do this, they need to jump on this, folks.
Do
you
it
got
now.
Like 3 or 4 days or something. You got to do this right away. But this is so much fun. We can talk about this more, but I wanted to get this in the show right up front who are interested can do this. It's an important thing to show the love of Jesus and tell people about Jesus in a way that they might receive it. And how many kids around the world they don't know that there's a God who loves them. So we're going to be right back. But before we go to the break, I just was going to say that the idea that you're doing this 11 million, I want to ask you, how many countries? I mean, I still can't fathom that number, 11 million.
We have 120 countries. And in every country, Eric, we have a national leadership team. These would be evangelicals, local evangelicals, that are responsible for receiving their allotment of boxes. Every country we will allot 100,000, 300,000, depending on their population and the number of churches.
Yeah.
That national leadership team is then responsible for dividing those boxes up to the local churches. And then we work with them all year long how to put on a program that explains who Jesus Christ is. We give an invitation. For those that accept Christ, we have a discipleship course that we offer later in the year. It's called The Greatest Journey. It's a 12-lesson discipleship course. They have to take a test. They have to memorize scripture.
I'm sitting here with Franklin Graham, president and CEO of Samaritan's Purse. If you're just tuning in, that's an international Christian relief and evangelism organization. Absolutely spectacular what you all do. And, of course, Franklin, you are the president and CEO of Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. Most people think of you in that capacity because your father was an evangelist. You are also principally an evangelist. You do crusades. I mean, how much of that do you do in a given year? You seem to travel a lot.
We do a lot. I did 10 cities in the Northeast early in the year. I just finished doing 8 cities in North Carolina. I'll be doing, I think it's 10 cities in Florida in January. Going to overseas. And it's that's coming up in a few weeks. So we keep a very busy schedule. But, you know, I'm 68 years old. I figure I've got a few years left. I've got a little bit of energy left. I want to just spend it while I can.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Lord gave it to us for, right?
That's right.
Where do you go? Where are you going overseas? Do you know?
Cambodia to Phnom Penh.
Wow.
Been working on this for several years. This is just a countrywide evangelistic crusade with permission from the government to do this.
That's pretty extraordinary. Now, how do these crusades that you do differ in any appreciable way from the ones that your father used to do, or is it pretty much the same model?
Well, overseas would be very similar, the same model. What we do here in this country, I call it Decision America, where we'll go in. We don't take up any offerings.
Right.
We don't ask for any money. And we go from city to city to city. And I take just one, basically one musician, Crowder or someone like that with me, and then I get up and preach and give an invitation. And so there's no cost to the church, no cost to the community. We pay those expenses. But I encourage people to vote. I tell Christians, don't sit home, but vote. I'm not telling you who to vote for. Let the Holy Spirit of God tell you to do that, but don't just say, well, my vote doesn't matter. It does matter, and many elections are decided not by millions of votes, but it comes down sometimes just to a few thousand.
Well, you have not shrunk from talking politics, and a lot of people have what I consider a profoundly unbiblical notion that if you love Jesus, you're not supposed to talk politics or be political. I don't find that only wrong, but tremendously harmful. And so you've been a hero to many because you've been willing to speak about politics. And
well,
so what do you think of what is happening now? I mean, it's a very bizarre situation to be living in a country where some people seem to exist to undermine the president of the United States. It's just a bizarre time for most Americans.
Well, I believe it's almost a demonic power that is trying.
I would disagree. It's not almost demonic.
No,
I mean, you know, and I know that at the heart, it's a spiritual battle.
It's a spiritual battle. And if you look at what the president has done just for our country, regardless of whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, we have the unemployment is at the lowest in 70 years. More African-Americans are working, more Latinos are working, more Asians are working, more everybody is working. We have an economy that is just screaming forward. It's incredible.
Can you even imagine we're saying this? Because literally 3 years ago, our economy was dead.
Yep.
in the water, dead in the water. We all know it. And 3 years later, you just said it's screaming forward. That's a fact. I mean, that's not our opinion, right?
And here's what that does for churches, for Christians. That means more people are working, so there's more people tithing and giving to the churches. There's more money for missions. There's more money for your building programs. All of this is because Donald Trump said he was going to turn things around and make America great again. He cut taxes, and that cutting taxes added fuel to this economic engine that we're enjoying right now. He's not a politician. I appreciate that about him. He's a businessman, and that's what we've needed in our government, not politicians. We need businessmen, and he's done that.
Well, it's almost comedic because I know you've been vilified by people for standing up for Trump. I have to a lesser extent because I've been less vocal, and I'm not as known as you are. But it's just a fascinating thing because people seem to devolve to a kind of moralistic Pharisaism, and they say, how can you support somebody, blah, blah, blah. And then they go on to cite how he's the least Christian, you know, they go on and on. And I think these people don't even have a biblical view when it comes to that, you know, that if somebody doesn't hold to our theology, that doesn't mean they can't be a great pilot or a great doctor or dentist. I mean, it's a bizarre situation that we're in, that people seem only to have these standards for the president somehow.
You know, I believe that Donald Trump believes. He believes in God. He believes in Jesus Christ. His depth, he doesn't, you know, he went to churches here in New York, and
yeah,
he didn't get a whole lot of teaching.
Franklin, I have to ask you, I want to talk to you more about the president and the impeachment situation, but I've got to ask you what Chick-fil-A did a couple of days ago was... It was like France surrendering to Hitler. Tons of people just were heartbroken, stunned. What do you think is happening?
I'm not sure Dan Cathy understands that the support for Chick-fil-A comes from middle-class Americans who love his restaurants. They're clean. They have a good sandwich. They're kid-friendly. The gay and lesbian movement is not their supporters. They're not the ones that are coming through their lines. But now, Dan Cathy, Chick-fil-A will serve anybody who comes through. It doesn't matter what your race is, your sexual preference is. They're going to serve you as the same as anybody else. They just do a fantastic job of providing a good meal. But you have to understand, Chick-fil-A is in the crosshairs of the gay lesbian movement because they gave money, their own personal money, to organizations that support marriage the way we would view marriage biblically. And so Chick-fil-A has come after them. Excuse me, the gay lesbian movement has come after them. And I would say to Chick-fil-A, stand your ground. The people that are buying your sandwiches are going to keep buying them, and they're going to keep supporting you. The gay lesbian movement is wanting you to back down, and they're not going to be happy till you start giving money to them.
The only thing is they have already, Chick-fil-A has already backed down. In other words, unless they reverse course, this is to me a public relations disaster on the level of the new Coke. You remember the new Coke? They rolled that out, and it was just a disaster.
Right.
I think that what Chick-fil-A just did, it's that level. I think it is a business-crushing disaster because I think people like you and me feel betrayed and feel like, we were looking to you as heroes who were standing firm and smiling. There was never an iota of hatred or feeling against any human being, just standing up for the Bible and their own values. And
closed
I have to say
that
people, yes, and I think that people feel betrayed, and I think that unless they reverse course, they are going to be very dramatically affected. I have no doubt of it.
I think it's going to hurt them, and I hope they do reverse course. But the gay lesbian movement is not going to be happy till Chick-fil-A starts donating to them and flying the rainbow flag at their stores. I think they're going to keep that pressure on till that happens.
That's the way it is, and that's why I think that, you know, so many people have been so cowardly in the face of that kind of cultural pressure. But Chick-fil-A have been just one of the very few heroes to just say, no, we're not going to accept your definition of hate. We're not going to accept what you say about who we are or how we fit. We're just going to keep doing what we do. And most Americans at this point just cheer and will drive miles out of their way to go to a Chick-fil-A because of that.
I
and
do.
So for them to reverse course, It's just staggering. I just wonder if they would possibly reverse course. I think if they don't, they're going to be very, very sorry. It's going to be dramatically different for them. But I want to ask you more about the did you have something else you want to say on that? I didn't want
to. No, I just really need to pray for Dan, Kathy, and Bubba that they'll do the right thing.
I want to talk to you about this president and impeachment. What do you think is happening?
I think it's a travesty what's happening. First of all, the division that this is causing to America. We've already been divided, but this is dividing it even deeper. And the people of this nation are being lied to by the media. This president has done more for this country than any president in my lifetime. And they're going to try to impeach him because he's been successful. They're going to impeach him because our military is strong. We're going to impeach him because our economy is on fire. We're going to impeach him because of all these things that he's done that he said he would. He moved the embassy out of Tel Aviv up to Jerusalem, where other presidents said they would do that, and never would do it, but he did it. This man keeps his word. If he says he's going to do it, he does it. And he's building America back to make it great again, and so they want to impeach him because he's successful. And they actually just hate him. And he is a good guy, and we need to pray for him. I'm not, you know, he's not a perfect person by any means, Eric. No way.
He's not as perfect as we are. Is that what you're saying?
But he's doing his dead level best, and he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the fame. He's doing this, I believe, for my grandchildren, for his grandchildren, and for future generations.
I believe that. And I think that many Americans believe that. But there are people that are convinced that he's Hitler 2.0. He's the devil. They seem to firmly believe things about him that I know are not true. But they're convinced that these things are true. And it breaks my heart that they believe this and that they're acting on this. I think sometimes there's no convincing people. But the least we can do, and you just said it, is we must ourselves pray for this
him.
Country, and because we are at a crossroads. There's no question
that
we have achieved some things very recently, but I think his appointment of judges is probably the most important thing that he's done. Can we even imagine if Hillary Clinton had been elected president, the two people sitting on the Supreme Court today, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, can we imagine who would be in their place?
Right.
We would lose all religious liberty.
Quickly.
This would be called hate speech.
Our conversation would be called hate speech.
So I hardly know what to say. Now, you've spent some time with this president.
Mm-hmm.
So well, how does he come across? Because, you know, there are people convinced that he's just a sawed-off maniac. Actually, I think he is, but in a good way. But when you spend time with him, what's he like?
I find him to be honest. If he says to you that he's going to do something, he does it. He's funny. He's got a great relationship with his wife. They're funny together. He's got a great relationship with his children. President Donald Trump is doing his best to try to make America great again. He's renegotiated all these trade deals that were one-sided, and America's booming for it. And he's going to continue to do this. But I would encourage Christians to pray for him. This is a spiritual war. It's a spiritual battle. Just pray for him and pray that God would guide and direct him so that if he's going left or to the right or straight, if the Lord wants him to stop, just pray that the Lord will stop him. If the Lord wants him to go to the right, then let the Lord move his steps to the right. But let's pray for him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. And just pray that the president will take that verse and that, well, he'll make that his life's verse. And just trust in the Lord with all of his heart and let the Lord lead him.
We will be right back. Final segment with Franklin Graham. Don't go away.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark windy day.
It's very rare that we play bumper music, and I get to ask my guest about the man singing that song. I've always wanted to ask you, I know that you were friends with Johnny Cash. What was Johnny Cash like, just to sit with, to eat breakfast with?
He was an incredible person. He's came to one of my crusades and sang for me. He worked with my father for years.
Oh, I know.
But I was doing a crusade up in Saskatoon and kind of having trouble. He said, "Franklin, I'll come up to Saskatoon and play one night. How would that be?" I said, "Mr. Cash, I would love to have you. You mean you'll come all the way to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, to be with me?" He said, "Franklin, it would be an honor to be with you." And he's that kind of guy.
I have to say that, you know, there are certain people that they're America. You know, I think of John Wayne. I think of Johnny Cash. Yeah. Just he is America. His voice, his look, his persona. And what so many people don't know, it was his profound faith in Jesus and how that was at the center of his whole life. A lot of people have no idea about that.
And, you know, my father got to know him because I was playing one of his songs, Ring of Fire. And so my father thought, well, if I meet Johnny Cash, Franklin will think I'm really cool. Well, so he was introduced to Johnny Cash. They became very close friends, vacationed together, traveled together. And it's all because my father wanted me to think he was cool.
Well, isn't that interesting, though? Because I go through that with my daughter. You know, your kids are the last ones, you know. So here you have, you know, one of the most famous people in the world, Billy Graham. And what is he thinking about? He's thinking about his son. He loved you so much. Mm-hmm. He wanted you, you know, to lean in his direction and to worship the Savior that he lived to talk about. Yeah. And so as a result of that, he reaches out to Johnny. I mean, you can't make that up.
No, and they've just became good friends. And Johnny Cash later in life had a real conversion, and he just studied the scriptures. He became a student of the Bible. He knew it backwards and forwards. An incredible person, and we miss him. We need more guys like him.
Oh my goodness! And June Carter Cash was a Christian. I mean, she was the one that was leading him to Christ.
Yes. No question.
And she seems to be that she was just a very fun person. I never heard very much about her. Did you know her as well?
I knew her. She reminded me a lot of my mother. She was gutsy. She said exactly what she thought, and tough as a nail, and you just didn't swear.
Isn't that amazing? I absolutely love it. We've just got less than a minute left. Say something about Operation Christmas Child before we go. That's if people want to do that, they need to do that right now.
Right now, go to SamaritansPurse.org, click on Operation Christmas Child, the link, and you can find out everything you need to know, how to pack a box, where to send the box, and also track your box.
And this is, I got to say, this is a really fun thing to do with your kids.
Absolutely.
And what a wonderful way to teach your own kids about the love of Jesus and about sharing the love of Jesus.
And the importance of giving.
Yeah. It's all there. I mean, what a wonderful idea. How many years have you been doing this?
26.
26 years. Yeah. So, folks, if you want to be one of the 11 million plus boxes, you could do it. You just got to jump on it. Mm. We're out of time. Franklin Graham, I praise God for you, and I'm grateful for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.